introduction. Thank you so much. I feel like I need a hug after that. I feel like I need a hug. Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much. That was great. Excellent. Brilliant, guys. Well, it's great to be here. Let these wonderful people leave the stage. I'll just entertain you guys. It's great to be here again this evening. It's great to have the opportunity to share and to bring God's word and some kind of share with you a little bit of what's been on my heart. I'm just going to open in prayer if that's okay. So Lord God, I want to thank you that we have the privilege to be able to meet and worship your name. We can do it in the morning and we can do it in the evening, Lord. We can do it all the way through the day and all the way through the week. So Lord, I want to pray that you would bless our time that we have for the rest of this evening, Lord. I want to pray that you would help me just to pull out of tonight the few nuggets, the few truths that you kind of want to sow into our hearts. And Lord, I pray that they would transform and they would build and they would change us, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I wanna start this evening with a little bit of a story. A story about a friend. And usually when people talk about stories about their friends, they mean themselves. So I'm speaking about a story about my friend tonight. And my friend, well, he was on his way home from work one day, and he had a really stressful day at work. A really tough day, and he was running late. He'd already got a text from his missus saying, "Where are you? You should be at home." And he was getting stressed out, and he was driving home, and he was thinking, "Right, I've got to go pick up some stuff for tea, and all this kind of stuff." So all these things were going on through my mind. I'll just say it. And I was getting really stressed out, and I was really late, and I was in the, I don't know, those of you who know that Barnsley very well, at Broadway, the crossroads at Broadway, I was in the left-hand lane, where somehow at 5 o'clock, between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, it means you've got to come via Penistone to get through into Barnsley, just because the queues were always so long. Anyway, I was sat in this queue, and I did the really good Christian thing, and I waited in the queue. I waited my turn in the queue, then I got up to the traffic lights, and just as I got up to the traffic lights, a guy from the next queue just whipped straight in and whipped in front of me, didn't queue in any of that queue, and he just came straight across, got in front of me, and then he went through the light and it turned red. I was like, oh, so angry, so cross at this point. Anyway, I went through the traffic lights and went around the corner, and then I saw that it just pulled out from the sides, and I was like, right, that's it. Anyway, my petrol gauge was going low, I says, right, I'm just going to drive really, really, really close up to him, in a really Christian way, and I'm going to follow him, and then he starts indicating to the petrol station, and I'm like, well, I've got to go to the petrol station because I'm on red, and I've been on red for about 3 days, and I'm now running on like prayer fuel. Anybody know what prayer fuel is? Yeah, we've all been there, prayer fuel. So I'm running on prayer fuel, so I've got to go. Anyway, I get out of my car, and I start filling my pump, and I see him over there. He's filling his pump up. He's filling his car up, and all these really, really godly thoughts are going through my head, kind of saying that. Anyway, I make my way into pay, and I'm just about to say something to him, and he turns around to me and he says, "I'm really sorry, mate. I think I might have cut you up earlier." I was like, yeah, I think you did." He's like, "I'm really, really sorry. I don't know Barnsley at all, and my mum's in hospital, and I'm trying to find out where the hospital is, and I don't know where she is." So me there just goes like that. So my face just like, and I'm just like, "Do you know what, God? You've just taught me, completely taught me a lesson today. You've just completely taught me a lesson about humility." And I want to talk a little bit about that. So I felt so bad, and I was so offended by what this guy had done, that I thought he'd done something really horrible to me, and it made me even later than what I should have been. And this got me thinking about my reaction and kind of our mentality and our whole approach, and how our mindset can have such a huge impact on the way that we do life. So tonight, I just want to spend a few minutes to talk about this theme of offense and how we react to it, and our need to have an unoffendable spirit. So we should get a nice little title that comes up here in a minute. So unoffendable, developing an undefendable spirit. So if you want to turn with me to Luke, Luke chapter 17, verse 1. If you don't, it's just one verse. We're just going to read it. It'll pop up on the screen. And it says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So let's just take a poll in here tonight. So how many people in this room have been offended, ever. Okay, so that pretty much is, well, let's be honest, Jesus usually tells the truth. And looking at the reaction there, Jesus has absolutely got this one nailed on. So it says here that it is impossible that no one should take offense. Okay, now this is this stuff that we're talking about, this section here is right in the thick of when Jesus was preaching. It's right in the middle of kind of all the kingdom building stuff, all the parables and all that kind of stuff. He's ministering to his disciples, he's speaking to his disciples. And in the middle of all this, Jesus kind of opens this topic and looks at this kind of theme of offense. So this is good stuff. This is stuff that we kind of need to be aware of. So looking at the life as Christians, sometimes we look and then we expect this to be the picture. How many people think that's what a Christian's life should look like? Sometimes it's perceived that, you know what, you get your Holy Spirit, you become a Christian, and then this holy glow appears around you. And you never get angry, or you never get cross, or you never feel like, I don't know, you want to beep at somebody after they cut you up and things like that. And you never take offense. But how many know that Christian life, that doesn't happen? That isn't the way it works. See, sometimes it's hard. It's great. I love being a Christian. I love the freedom of being a Christian. But sometimes we've got to recognize that actually that offense does happen and offense can come into our world. And tonight I just want to say to you that it's all right to be offended. It's all right to expect to be offended. But as Christians, I believe that we're called to develop an unoffendable spirit. And by that I mean that when offense comes, it's about how our reaction and how we should avoid ourselves to cause to stumble in that reaction. So what is an offense? So an offense, it's the original word is scandalon, which looking at the definition, it's the best thing I could come up with is, so you know the little bit of cheese on a mousetrap, yeah? That little mechanism to get the mouse. An offense, from everywhere that I've kind of read, is that little gauge that the cheese sits on, okay? So basically, it translates to bait, okay? It translates to that bit on the mousetrap where the enemy, it's the trap that the enemy tries to set, okay? To get you into the flesh, to get you into that place where you may potentially stumble. So there's many things in this world that we can be offended by. We can be offended by people. We can be offended by God when he doesn't do the things that we expect him to do for us. We can be offended by ourselves. We can be offended by the shops, especially as I found out recently, as Kerry started buying new orders, she's very offended by the sizes that she thinks that she should be now. She's lost all this weight, and she goes into one shop and she picks something up, and that's a 10. I've not been a 10. I've lost all this weight. I'm an 8, and she's adamant she's an 8. So we can get offended by... We can get offended by the shops. We can get offended by the government. We can have all these offences. And we can get offended by each other. Hey, I think she does. But if you go to somewhere like Primark, apparently Primark doesn't think she looks like a size 8. Primark thinks she looks like a size 10. Don't worry, we've had the conversations. So no matter where we are, the offense is going to come to us. Now the one thing that sets us apart is how we respond. See, we need to be able to identify and respond in that Christ-like mentality. And in order to better understand this, I just want to jump into a couple of verses and take a look at Jesus' reaction. So Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. And this is what it says. This is Jesus predicting his death. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised by the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' He turned and he said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man.' Now, firstly, when I looked at this, I thought, that's a bit harsh. That's a bit harsh from Jesus. And he's having a go at Peter here. But then you look closer at it, and actually Jesus isn't having a go at Peter, but he's calling out the statement of what Peter is saying. It's this statement of that Jesus is going to die, that he's not going to die, should I say, sorry. Now, the offense was presented to Jesus, and it was built on Peter's false expectations. And the way that Jesus reacted to that offense was that seed of doubt that the devil was potentially planting in Jesus' mind, that he was trying to get Jesus to stumble over this non-truth of the fact that he wouldn't have to go to the cross and endure the suffering. And Jesus kind of calls that out, and he says, I don't want anything to do with that. He says, that isn't part of God's plan for me. Actually, what God wants for me is what I'm going to keep my mind fixed on. I'm going to fix my mind on the things of God. And that is Jesus' reaction. See, and an offendable spirit comes from knowing where our identity comes from. Where our affirmation comes from. It's looking at that, where do we get our sense of purpose from? It's coming from that knowledge of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and why he has done that for us, because of the love that he has for us. And that's where the unoffendable spirit, I'm going to get this really wrong, that's where the unoffendable spirit comes from. It comes from that knowledge and that recognition of that actually we are in Christ. We are in Jesus. We are loved first by Jesus. See, when comments come our way, And they will come our way, and when frustrations begin to rise with us, we need to hold on to his promises. We need to know that our identity is in Christ, that our future is there, our purpose is there, and his love conquers all. His love is above everything, no matter what we do. Romans 8, verses 38 to 39 says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. See, when we start to look at our own expectations and other people's expectations and not God's and not what God thinks of us, that's when offense comes. That's when we allow offense into our life. And it can start really small. It can start with a comment. It can start with a reaction, or it can start with something really small. And how many of you ever had a splinter? Yeah, I got a splinter a couple of weeks ago on my right finger, and I was like, right, I'll get it out at some point. And then it started to get really, really sore and infected. Then I found I couldn't write, and I found it started affecting just more than this little splinter was causing me so much pain. We've got to be careful that the offences in our lives don't allow that to grow into something much bigger that impacts us. See, where there is offense, there is division. And where there is division, that's when the devil can get in. He wants to separate us. He wants to isolate us. He wants to take us away from those plans and those purposes that God has for us. And when I look at the time that I'm most struggling, I see there's a definite correlation between when I'm not with God's people, when I'm not around God's people, when I'm not sharing and having God's truth spoken into my life, that's the point when I become the weakest. That's the point when I become more susceptible to the devil stepping in and kind of taking me off course and putting those seeds of doubt in my mind. So we've got to protect ourselves against that. Let's not let offense be the foothold for the enemy to get in. But let's be a people who are building each other up, speaking the truths of God into our lives, wanting the best for each other, cheering each other on, and celebrating the successes that we all have together. And when we're struggling, remember what Paul says when he writes to the Ephesians. In chapter 4, he says, verse 1, he says, As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity for the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I truly believe that the one foundation for developing that unoffendable spirit is love. It's the foundation of love. So let's be a church that love each other. But let's not be a church that love each other, but let's be a church that love each other well. So when we look at Corinthians 13 and the example that it gives us, it talks about what love is, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness. No, that's fruits of the Spirit. I'm getting that wrong. all the stuff that it talks about love and how we should be reacting against each other, how we should be treating each other. But in order to replicate that love, we first need to experience it. See, we need to realize our identity in Him. And this is why I love church. I love church because I knew that God loves church. And it's full of normal, regular people from all walks of life doing all sorts of different things in life. And we've got an expression, and Paul put a slide together. He talked about no perfect people. Now, the problem is with no perfect people is that we kind of rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. And we don't always get on with each other all the time because none of us are perfect. We all have our failures and our flaws. But let's be a people that are looking to build in ourselves and in each other that unoffendable spirit that where that love comes first. See, later on in this in the passage that we read in Luke 17, Jesus reminds us, and he says to his disciples, he speaks about forgiveness. He says in verse 4, he says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." See, this is right after the section about offense. So this is fundamental to kind of us dealing with offense. It's that heart and that spirit of forgiveness. And all of that is kind of encapsulated in this foundation of love. So let's be a church, let's be a people that love abundantly, but also forgive quickly. Imagine what church would look like. Imagine how church would be. It would be a church full of people, a church full of grace, a church full of that bear with mentality, a church full of unity. And I think we're doing good with that, guys. I think we're getting there. I think we're on a journey, and God's taking us on a journey. But I just think that there is more. There's more from God to come. There's more from us to come. And I just want to really encourage you that's got to be our mentality that we're taking forward. And a church that looks like Jesus. A church of belonging. And a church that draws people to. Because you know something? An unoffendable spirit? That's countercultural. That's not normal for people. People are used to getting offended. The world loves being offended. The world loves reacting to situations and to things like that. But actually Jesus says, no, love comes first. Love is the first thing. And that will then create a platform on that unoffendable spirit and that unoffendable nature that we need to have. So I just want to invite the band back up if they would. And I just want to ask you the question today. Where is your heart at? Are you in a place where potentially there is an offense that you need to deal with? Because let me tell you something, that Jesus' love overarches and encompasses anything that we might take offense at. So I would encourage you tonight, we talk about in communion, if there is anything that you're struggling with, if there's anything that you think that little splinter that just needs to be plucked out, what a great opportunity we've got tonight to deal with that with God. What a great opportunity we've got to kind of get on our knees before the King of Kings and say, "Lord, you love me first. Will you take this? Will you take this offense and will you deal with it?" Because I promise you that a church full of people with that unoffendable spirit is the church that God is calling us to be. It's the church that kind of says to the people out there, "We don't judge, we love. We love you the way you are. Come and do life, do family in Hope House Church." And that's the church I want to belong to. That's the church that I want to invite people to. That's the church that I want to see people grow in. So guys, I would just encourage you as we go to worship, as we're going to celebrate Jesus and who he is and that he loved us first, I would encourage you to just examine yourselves for those offenses. Just examine yourself for those splinters that you just need to pull out in front of the Lord and just say, "Lord, will you deal with them with me tonight?" Thanks, guys.
That's some really good stuff. We're going to sing through Plans again tonight. And as you sing this, I just want you to make it your declaration. You know, believe it when you sing it, that God's got a plan and a future for you, that you're not alone, he's not forgotten you. And we're doing this together. If you'd like to stand.
See the world through.